I want to talk about the title of this talk is David's Rise and Saul's Jealousy. Jealousy is a powerful and distressing emotion. Those who suffer from it regularly or have ever suffered from it will know it's not an emotion that people want to live with or have. Even the victims of it, if you have suffered from it or you're a victim of somebody else's jealousy, whichever side of the fence you're on, it's a very disturbing and distressing emotion. Psychology Today says the following. Excuse me, you don't mind if I eat a sweet, do you? It's a throat sweet. I don't know why I'm asking you. I'm going to do it anyway. And as emotions go, jealousy is neither subtle nor kind, but it is definitely complex, encompassing feelings from fear of abandonment to rage to humiliation. Conventional wisdom holds that jealousy is a necessary emotion because it preserves social bonds, but it is more often destroys them, and it can give rise to relational violence. Often jealousy is accompanied by anger. So you put jealousy and anger together, and they're a powerful, explosive chemistry. It can lead to destructive behavior. It can cause cruelty. It can be irrational. The logical processes of what is right and wrong and how we can behave can go out of the window. Cruel, it can be vindictive and extremely undermining. And when we look at the life of David and Saul in this particular series that we're looking at, we can see the classic signs of jealousy and anger in Saul's life that lead his life in a trajectory and a spiral that is absolutely catastrophic, not only to himself, but to those around him. So here's the background. Saul had rebelled against God. He'd been disobedient to his word. And therefore, the prophet Samuel said that the kingdom was going to be torn from Saul and given to a man after God's own heart. David had defeated Goliath and now was a hero. And he'd been enlisted into Paul's army, and he was engaging in Saul's army and military campaigns. And God was with David, and his success was absolutely astonishing. And everything he put in hand to, God was blessing. And this is where we pick up the story, and we read this. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine women. Sorry, let's get this right. When the victorious, you can tell I've been ill. Can't even read. But there you go. I can't even read when I am well, so what's the problem? When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistines, women from all over the towns of Israel came out to meet the king. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines, cymbals. And this was their song. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. This made Saul very angry. What is this, he said. They credit David with 10,000s and me only with thousands. Next they'll be making him their king. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Do you see what we have there? We see it made him angry, and he was jealous. There was this combination of jealousy and anger mixed within the heart of Saul. And what it was is that Saul's insecurity led to jealousy. Insecurity is one of the roots that actually causes and provokes jealousy within us. Saul's position was not secure. He said, God said to him, you're going to lose the kingdom. It's going to be given to another. We can understand why he felt insecure. David's success triggered his insecurity. And the thing about jealousy is that there's usually a trigger point within us. And there's some kind of insecurity within us that may stem back from our past, something that we're not even consciously aware of, but it is within us. Somebody says or does something, they have something, we perceive them to have a life or a lifestyle or a set of circumstances that connect with our insecurity, and it triggers something. And then this unhealthy and distressing emotion that nobody wants or welcomes or has asked for just emerges out of nowhere. It's a most horrible and distressing thing. And this is what Saul experienced. Saul fundamentally feared the love or loyalty that was turning to another. And often jealousy comes from an insecurity that comes from a lack of love. I mean, one psychologist says the taproot of nearly every mental illness is a lack of love. And when we don't feel loved, we don't feel secure. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear, or perfect love casts out insecurity. It is love is such a powerful forming force within us that creates within us security. And of course it's true to say, isn't it, that nobody has been loved perfectly. Every one of us has gone through our childhood experience where we have never been loved perfectly at all times by all people. It might be a deficit within our home life or our parental experience. It might be something in the playground that we've experienced. It might be just a one-off occasion where you felt humiliated in the classroom, and it might have just been one time, but you were vulnerable in that moment and something undermined you in your heart and soul where there an insecurity or a lack of love or esteem was put there, and you buried it and you got on with life and you did the stuff and you dealt with life like every one of us has to, and then at some point in our life somebody says something and does something and we perceive a particular person and a trigger goes and we feel jealous of them. They could be our best friend. It could be a parent could be jealous of a child. A brother could be jealous of a sibling, your own flesh and blood. It could be somebody in church. It could be a colleague at work. It could be somebody in the same field, and you get on absolutely fine, and then in a moment, this power emerges within you that can be so destructive, because it's a trigger that connects into the deepest insecurity of our hearts and lives. In this circumstance that we're looking here with Paul and David, the problem was Saul's fear, not David's success. And of course, the thing about jealousy, it often turns our focus to make somebody else a threat or somebody else an enemy in one's thinking. The person is not the problem. It's with ourselves. But unless we are aware of how jealousy works within us, we often don't take a step back to actually be objective for a moment and say, hang on, this is more about me than it is about this person. I need to get a grip here. If Saul was able to step back, he actually would see that David was an ally and an asset to his kingdom. Even though it had been prophesied and told that he ultimately would lose it, David was fighting his battles and bringing security and safety on every border. There is no so David was an asset. Jealousy warped Paul's perspective of David. Jealousy made a faithful servant a threat, a rival, and an enemy. So I want to talk about some life lessons, and this series is all about life lessons. What are the life lessons that we can learn from this story at this moment in time? Well, the first lesson is we need to stop. When we feel jealous, and the scripture says there's no temptation that is not common to man. Don't let any one of us think that we can be immune from anger or jealousy. There's no temptation that is not common to man. And the Bible says, and if you are a person who is not prone to jealousy or doesn't suffer from it often, it's not one of those things you have to commonly deal with. Can I just say this one word to you? As Paul says, when you think you stand, be careful lest you fall. When you think you stand, be careful lest you fall. Even if you are not prone to it, we need to guard our hearts daily, because there is no temptation, there is no sin that is not common to man. But the Lord will provide, says the scriptures, a way of escape for us if we choose to walk through it. So the first thing we have to do, if we encounter this emotion, is stop, and ask ourselves with honesty, what am I really feeling here? What am I feeling? Be honest with yourself. Identify it. I am jealous. Say it. Confess it. Put it on the table. See it for what it is. Stop looking at that other person as some kind of threat or enemy or horrible person. Stop projecting the problem onto the person. Look at yourself. Be honest with yourself. That's where your deliverance, your freedom from this slavery begins, with self-honesty. Jeremiah says, oh, the human heart is most deceptive amongst all things. Our hearts really don't want to be honest with ourselves. Own our sin. What am I feeling? Oh, I hate to admit this, but it's jealousy. Secondly, why am I feeling like this? When I look at this person, when I see what they're doing, it could be their family life, their marriage, it could be something within their job, it could be a talent, it could be the way that they look, it could be the way that they dress, it could be the new shoes that they've bought. It's totally irrational. It could be when I look and I feel this, ask this question. Why is it? What is it I am feeling? What is it I want? What is it that it's tapping into? Is it fear that I feel? What is it I want that is that's causing me to feel this way? Why is it triggering this? Ask yourself. If you see somebody successful, does that and you feel jealousy? Why am I feeling jealous of somebody else's success? Why? Why? What is it? Because I don't feel valued, I don't feel esteemed, I don't feel significant. Is that what it is? Well, I need to deal with my esteem then. I need to deal with my own value. I need to feel my significance. Is my significance based upon you got the promotion and I didn't? What? I mean, is that what makes me valuable as a person? Is that what does it? Is it because you're better looking than I am? I like, you've got straight hair and I got curly hair. Oh, I wish I had straight hair. I've noticed this. Everybody who's got curly hair wants straight hair. Everyone's got straight hair wants curly hair. What is it? Is my esteem and my value, my self-worth, my security based on the shape of my face, my body, my is it based on those things? Is that what makes me valuable? And then you say, well, yes, it does, but it shouldn't. So what am I going to do about it? Am I going to go through the whole of my life being a victim of this false belief system that makes me a slave to everybody else who has something I long for and take value from? Or am I going to live as a free person? And it's the choice. You can do something about it. We can be free. Are you tracking with me? Okay. Why am I feeling this way? Why? What are the facts? What are the facts about this person? About the situation? And what does God say to me? He loves me. That's my value. He's given me unique gifts and callings that are unique to me. God has a boundary set for me. You know, Psalm 16 says, your boundaries, O Lord, have landed for me in pleasant places. You know, there is a boundary that God has set for us in life. There's a pathway that God has set for us. A certain place where we live, certain set of friends, certain callings. And God has created you in a way and matched you with a certain set of boundaries and circumstances that are designed and created just right for you. And sometimes that boundary, we don't actually explore the full perimeter of it and maximize it, and we live within a limited boundary. But there's more. And sometimes there's a boundary and we want to step beyond it. And when we want to step beyond it, because we see others have what we want, even if we get what we think we want, it will not satisfy. I think Adam and Eve found that when they were set within a garden and there was a beautiful boundary, and I'm quite sure they hadn't explored the full extent of it, but it was a boundary. And then they wanted the more. And you know, they reached beyond the boundary for the more, thinking it would satisfy by taking the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, because it was desiring for gaining wisdom, and they would be like God. And they reach beyond their God-given boundary, beyond what God has created them for, and the whole world came tumbling down. So there's a boundary that God has given us. Your boundary has landed for me in pleasant places. And some of us need to overcome our fear and explore the full extent of it. And some of us need to know what our boundary is and not go beyond it. And know that actually that is beyond what God has called me to. It's a very wise person who recognizes what God has called them to. It's a wiser person who recognizes what God hasn't called them to. Okay. And often we have to come to this last bit here and ask God for the healing of the heart. Lord, this jealousy has provoked within me an understanding that there is some damage within my heart. Fear, lack of love, insecurity, something is not settled, something is not nurtured, something is not matured. Will you forgive me and will you heal my heart? Will you put within my spirit your love and your security, your value, that I feel at peace with who I am? That's where it all begins and ends, with coming to terms with God's value, God's love, God's significance, God's healing, God's pouring into our heart. He is the restorer of our souls and heart. Let's move on. Now we notice that Saul's jealousy led to anger. I know. That's quite a photo, isn't it? Yeah, I know. So we notice, don't we, in the text that Saul was, first of all, his first response was anger. Why was he? He was angry because of his jealousy, but it was because of his insecurity. And then sinful anger comes from self-preservation or interest. There is such a thing as righteous anger, where we get angry because there is a wrong in the world and there's an injustice in the world, and we need to do something about it. That's what God gets angry over that. He gets angry over abuse. He gets angry over injustice. He gets angry over poverty when there doesn't need to be. He gets angry over these things. That's a righteous anger. But when we get angry because I can't get my own way, I can't get my want, what I want, you make me look bad, or something of that nature, that's a sinful anger. That's an anger of immaturity. Children get angry when they don't get their own way. It's called a tantrum. Mummy, can I have sweets in Sainsbury's, Tesco's? No. And they'd have a tantrum on the Tesco's floor. Because it's all about self-interest. Yeah? Go, time for both to bed. No, I don't want to go to bed. Tantrum, self-interest. So anger comes from self-interest. It can come from pride, when our pride is hurt, or when we feel threatened. And we can get angry when these things happen. Jealousy or jealous anger is incredibly destructive, and it leads to destructive behavior. It literally seeks to destroy, and that's what we see happening in Saul's and David's scenario. It will destroy. Sometimes it will destroy people physically. It can be violent and abusive in a physical way. Sometimes people who are angry and jealous at the same time will destroy people's happiness, reputation, relationships, property, businesses. People who are in business will sometimes have been victims of other people's jealousy, where they had their businesses destroyed through other people's vindication. Vindictiveness, rather. Families. And so the life lesson we have to learn here is, as Paul says, in your anger, do not sin. What do we do? We have to stop again. Stop. Stop. Take a step back. And guard our hearts. We need to guard our hearts, our thoughts, and our actions when we're angry. Jealous anger is a very dangerous place to live. Let me explain. Something called Cain and Abel. Sorry, I'll go back. Cain and Abel. Abel offered a gift to God. It was accepted. Cain offered a gift to God. He offered some a lamb to God, and it was accepted. Cain offered some vegetables. It wasn't accepted. I can't go into the reasons why it wasn't. It just wasn't right that he offered it. And when the offering that Cain offered to God wasn't acceptable, and there were reasons, it says that Cain became angry and dejected. And then God said to Cain, this is the first murder on earth, the first time murder happened. He says, sin is seeking to encroach upon your heart, Cain, and you must rule it. What was happening? Because he became angry, he was jealous of his brother, he became dejected, anger was beginning to want to rule in his heart. And if it ruled in his heart and it opened up to it, it actually would lead to complete and total destructive behavior. Okay. Have to watch ourselves. Jealous anger can open the door to destructive evil forces. Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp, as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand, and he suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. But David escaped twice. Do you notice something there? The very next day, he was overwhelmed by an evil spirit. The very next day. There are certain sins or attitudes of heart and spirit that are more spiritually dangerous than others. And bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, and jealousy are sins of the spirit. They're an attitude of spirit. That if we live in them, if we continue in them, we don't only come to a place, there's a danger, we don't only come to a place where I'm struggling with my own insecurity, my own fear, my own emotions over this issue. But now, because of the nature of it, a demonic spirit can capitalize upon our weakness and add to the thing that we're struggling with and drive us into increasing destructive behavior. Because there are some sins that are actually found firstly in the heart of Satan. Satan, the Bible teaches, if you look through Ezekiel and Isaiah, was an angel, a beautiful, pure angel who led worship in the realms of heaven. And one day he became jealous of God and his worship that God was receiving. And he incited a third of the angels to rebel. And it was pride and jealousy that provoked the rebellion. And it also says that Satan now goes around the world like a roaring lion or like an angry lion, seeking those he may devour. So we see in the heart and the motivation of Satan, this evil force, it was initiated by pride and jealousy, and anger is a powerful motivation. And there are certain sins in life that are beyond just a slip-up and a moral misdemeanor and oops. There are certain sins of the spirit that so resonate with the heart of evil that it can open our lives up to destructive forces. And that's why Paul says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, don't be ignorant of the devil's schemes. We are not fighting just against our flesh and blood here. But there are forces of darkness at work. And we see that Saul here became jealous and angry, and the very next day. Listen what the Bible says in Ephesians 4, chapter 6. No sneak preview. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Let me repeat it. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If we live in anger, we run the risk of being taken over by it. And evil can overwhelm us and drive us irrationally. And sometimes it stops at nothing, even using family and friends to hurt others. For example, Saul even used his daughter to get at David. So he'd been totally now overwhelmed by something that was more destructive even than his own fleshly anger. Look at this. One day Saul said to David, I'm ready to give you my older daughter, Michal, as your wife, but first you must prove yourself to be a real warrior by fighting the Lord's battle. For Saul thought, I'll send him out against the Philistines and let them kill him rather than doing it myself. Do you see what he was doing? He was being very two-faced. He said this, I'm going to let you have my daughter, the king's daughter. So David thinks, oh, great. He's not angry with me anymore. I'm going to marry into the royal family. There's an alliance, there's a truce. But really, he's thinking, no, I'm going to use my daughter to get to him. He's exploiting his own daughter to get to David. Stops at no end. It becomes irrational. Okay. Life lessons. Deal with anger and jealousy straight away. Can I just say this? Look, we have to deal with our anger and jealousy straight away. We all get it. We all feel it. If you don't get angry and jealous or feel these emotions from time to time, you're a machine and not a human being. All right? Let's just be real. Let's just accept the fact. Okay? Sometimes you can't help it. It comes to you and caps you sideways. That's not the problem. Temptation is not the problem. Temptation is not the sin. It's what you do with it. Stop. Recognize it. Deal with it straight away. Acknowledge it yourself. I'm angry. Jealous. Get help if you need to. Bible says in James chapter 5, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. Now, if you examine the word in the Greek there, it means if you're in a sin that you're struggling with and can't get over, tell somebody and bring it into the light, breaks its power. Some of you may need to go to somebody and say, I have an anger problem. I have a jealous problem. I've been living with this for too long and I don't, and it's affecting my relationships. There's some relationships that I had were really good and they've been ruined and I've lost a good friends because of it. I don't want that to happen. Get help. Break its power. Bring it into the light. Watch your heart daily and get a right perspective. Once again, look at things correctly. David was a loyal servant. David's success secured Saul's safety. Saul was honored as well as David. They said Saul's king. They sang, when the women came back with their tambourines, it actually says they sang. They came to greet Saul. They didn't come to greet David. It says they came to greet Saul and sang, you've killed your thousands. David is 10,000s. Saul was honored. Get a right perspective. Secondly, don't compare yourself to others. It's fatal. There's always somebody going to be better at something than you or has what you don't have. Always. Come on, we all know that, don't we? And this is something I've learned. Just in case you get a bit too ahead of yourself, God will make sure that he places you in a situation around people who are exceedingly better than you are. It's great. Come on. Stop comparing yourself to others, because you're always going to find somebody where you're going to think, you know, I don't do that. They're smarter, wiser. It's always going to happen. Don't do that. Come on. Please don't torment yourself. Give yourselves a break. Honestly. Don't be so cruel to yourself by tormenting yourself and comparing yourself to others. Let it go. There's just one of you. And God made you uniquely. And he wants a blessed, anointed you. Not you trying to be somebody else. Know your God-given blessings. You're chosen by God. God has given you unique gifts. He's given you those wonderful boundaries for your goodness, protection, and well-being. You are loved. Are you tracking with me so far? Should we just finish off then? How to handle jealousy if you're the one that somebody is jealous towards? Yeah? Look, guys, I know this is a painful talk because this hits down to the real emotion of living life. So please don't sit there feeling awkward and vulnerable. We're all in the same boat. We've all had to deal with it. So, you know, it's all right. It's what we do with it matters. what we do with it. Okay, the first thing you have to do, if somebody is jealous towards you, and who's, I guess everybody's experienced that as well, to one degree or another. The first thing you've got to do is duck. Don't let it stick to you. It says that in the text that we read, David ran and he dodged Saul's spear. He dodged it twice and ran. You've got to guard your heart, put up a shield of faith, confess any resentment or hurt that you have to God. Heal my heart, that really hurt. Forgive the person, but you've got to let it wash over you. You've got to duck. Don't let the arrowy darts stick, because they'll sting if they do. And then do what David continued to do. Serve, bless, forgive, love as far as you're able. It says that David remained faithful. Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and turned from him. Finally, Saul sent him away, appointed him as a commander over 1,000 men, and David faithfully led his troops. David faithfully led Saul's troops, faithfully served him. Isn't that astonishing? So he dodged the jealous darts. Not going to let this one land on me. But he faithfully served. He blessed. He forgave. He had a generous attitude and heart towards the other person. Cultivate that. And if you find difficult to do it naturally, this is the trick. When you're in prayer, start praying that God will bless those who are jealous of you. The Bible says, bless your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. Pray that God will bless them. Pray that God will be kind to them. Pray that God will cause peace and goodness to overwhelm them. Pray privately those type of prayers, and you will find your heart changed. Pray those prayers. Thirdly, I love this, run into the presence of God. It says, so David escaped and went to Ramah to see Samuel. And he told him all that Saul had done. And then Samuel took David with him to live at Naoth. When the report reached Saul that David was at Naoth in Ramah, he sent troops to capture him. Listen what happened. But when they arrived and saw Samuel leading a group of prophets who were prophesying, the Spirit of God came upon Saul's men, and they all began to prophesy. So they go to try and capture him, but the presence of God is so strong, they can't get him. You've got to run to the presence of God. Can I say that when you feel the victim of jealousy or somebody's anger, you can't fight fire with fire. You have to go to the secret place and find God. And say, Lord, I need to walk in your love, and I need to walk in your presence. I need to walk in your anointing. I need to walk in the presence of God so that your presence overwhelms me, not my fear, hurt, whatever it is. Become obsessed with the presence of God, not with the other person who's jealous with you. Go to the presence of God. Please, run into his presence daily. Keep close to God. Trust in him as your shield and your strength. Fourthly, see what David... let others defend you. How many of you watch this program, Silk? It's a great program, by the way. It's three of you. It's really good. She's a defense lawyer. Let others defend you. Jonathan defended David to Saul, and Michal, his new wife, also hid David and helped him escape when Saul was attacking. It was others that actually secured his release. Resist the temptation to defend yourself. I know it's hard to stay silent, but allow others to defend you. And finally, and we are coming to an end, this is actually finally, be careful of jealous people. They're not safe. Keep your distance. It says that David ran from the presence of Saul. He stayed on the run. 400 men, discontents, began to join him and became his army. But he stayed out of the presence of Saul until he was dead. David didn't harm Saul, but he was aware of his danger and kept his distance. Do keep your distance from jealous, angry people, because jealous, persistent anger is dangerous. Listen to look what the Bible says. Can you just slip? Is there another slide there? Ah. Okay. That's a real pity. Proverbs talks about how anger and jealousy is as cruel as the grave and is destructively dangerous. And I wish I had the verse to show you. Do keep your distance. It's not unloving or unbiblical to keep your distance from people who are angry and jealous. It's not unforgiving and unbiblical. It is sometimes the wisdom of the Lord. Elijah was told to hide from Jezebel. Do you remember that? Jezebel was trying to kill Elijah. He says, go and hide in the book of Cherry. Get yourself out of here. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. There was a jealous, raging, angry king called Herod. And an angel from heaven came to Joseph and said, Joseph, get Mary and this baby out of here. Get them down to Egypt. And they stayed in Egypt until the jealous king Herod was dead. And then he says, Herod is dead. Safe you to come back. We have to forgive. We have to be loving. We have to live in peace. But we have to be wise. And David served Saul. He never harmed Saul. He always honored Saul. But he kept his distance, because he knew the danger he could do. So in conclusion, jealousy is a powerful force and we must be alert to it. We must act on its presence as soon as it rears its ugly head in our lives. If we become the victim of other people's jealous anger, duck, forgive and bless, hide yourself in God, let others defend you, and be careful. These are all the lessons that we see David exemplified and Saul demonstrated in this passage of Scripture. If we take these things to heart, we'll preserve our hearts. And the Bible says, above all things, above all things, guard your heart. Guard it. Guard it. God can't guard it for you. You have to guard it, firstly. Guard your heart, and then he comes in. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of your life. Don't let it become polluted. So this is what I'm going to invite you to do. If you like me, want to stand before God, and you don't have to, and there's no pressure, I want you to think about this. Say, God, I want to stand before you, for I want to, it is my intent every day to guard my heart against these things. And it is my help and intent and prayer that every time I see these feelings emerge in my own heart and life, with your grace and help, is my intent daily and immediately to deal with it in this biblical way. I will draw upon these life lessons. And it is my intent to do that. Will you help me, God? Because the Bible says, do not neglect the grace of God and let a root of bitterness grow up amongst you. We have to respond to the grace. Will you help me, God? Now, you don't have to. That's okay. But if you want to join with me in this daily death to the flesh, this daily taking up our cross, then I think that's a good intent to express before God and a good prayer to pray. And if you'd like to do that, we can just take a solemn moment. And it is a solemn moment. That's why I'm saying don't do it if you don't feel comfortable. And I'm going to close my eyes. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I'm not going to look who's standing and who's not. I don't want you to feel awkward. I just want you to feel sincere. Yeah? Do you understand what I'm saying? I just want you to feel sincere, not awkward. So I'm going to close my eyes. And then when I say amen, I'm going to keep my eyes closed, give you a few moments to sit down, and then we're going to go. Because I just want this to be real. Yeah? Does that make sense? Just real. Don't stand because you think, well, if I don't stand, I'll know. I know all that type of pressure. I don't feel that. All that nonsense. I'm going to close my eyes. When I say stand, stand, I'm going to pray. Amen. I'm going to wait a few moments and then I hand over to Adam. If you'd like to stand with me, do so now. Well, Lord, we stand in your presence as your people and as your children. With hearts that are sincere and repentant and honest, saying that we want to live a pure-hearted life in everything we do. And we want to be an overcoming people. We want to live as the children of God. We want to walk by the power of your Spirit, not by the flesh. And we pray as we pray this prayer that your grace will enable us to watch and guard our lives and to live and forgive where we need to be wise where we need to, and to not allow the destructive forces of sinful anger and jealousy to work in our lives and in the lives of others around us. We pray you'll forgive us wherever it has happened or been prolonged too long. We pray that, like your Lord's Prayer says, deliver us from the evil one. And we pray for freedom and deliverance from any evil as we repent before you now, and we receive your deliverance and freedom now by faith. And we pray that the blood of Christ will not only cleanse us, but we pray your Spirit will empower us to live with open, graceful, Christ-like, loving hearts towards you, others, and this world. That we will not be the victims, but will be the outpourers of grace and mercy. And that we will celebrate others' victories and successes and blessings. And that we will not live in the fallenness of our nature, but we'll live in the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. And to this end, we ask and pray, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.